there's a lot of things that I struggled with, and coming to this church, being able to be with this community was so very amazing, and being able to eventually start being able to spread the gospel was so amazing. And my commitment to the church and just to Jesus in general is to stop being nervous, to go out to everybody that I can and spread the gospel as much as I can.
Immeasurably more means to me that God is going to lead me to Him no matter what.
The generosity and the immeasurably more helps me like understand that, like, okay, I have to be more generous every day. Just try to do more things to help people out.
Well, I've had big influences in my life. My parents, my entire family, and so, you know, just knowing that He was there for them, and so He's always going to be there for me.
I'm committing to $15 a month to help this church grow and provide a place of comfort and a place where the next generation can worship Jesus Christ. I'm committing to giving 15 minutes of prayer to the church so it'll help get the lives of the next generation and the Father can move their faith and help them grow in the Holy Spirit.
I've been to the past for Immeasurably More series this Sunday, and I've just been really moved by everything, and I feel like if I donate to the church, I just feel like I would be more connected with Jesus, and I feel like that would be really good.
So I decided to give up 20% of my birthday and Christmas money because I just feel like that if I give up 20%, then it can go towards a lot of people that need help and support on anything.
I decided to give up 20% of my birthday and Christmas money to the church because I feel like it can do more to the church than it would to me.
Okay, well, my commitment is just being able to give everything to God, really, because I feel like in such a chaotic world, everything just seems like too much, and being able to just give the little that I have to God is just such a blessing to be able to do.
Throughout the years, this church has poured into me, you know, and they've invested in me so that I can go just be a better disciple to Jesus. You know, I want that for kids and teenagers in the future.
Come on, let's praise God for that. Come on. I mean, isn't that amazing whenever we talk about how our, like, primary goal is 100% engagement, everybody all in, participating in this incredible initiative? I mean, that's what we mean. Everybody is a part of this moment here. And, you know, one of our core values here at Corinth is that we would radically and unapologetically invest in the next generation. And a lot of that comes from Psalm 78, verse 4, where it says this, that we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His wonders. And so that is what we are all about. And man, kids, students, it is just so great to be encouraged and inspired by your generosity. Hey, if you're in the room, I want to invite you to go ahead and grab that commitment card. Maybe it's the one that you brought with you. Maybe it was the one that was in your seat, whatever it is. If you are watching online, then there is a QR code on the screen right now that you can scan, and you will go to our online commitment card there. But let's grab the card, let's hold it, and let's pray over what God is going to do today, both in us and through us as a church. So let's pray. Holy Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you with just expectant hearts, believing with all that we have that you really can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, and believing that you have led us to this place as a church, and that it is time for our next faithful step in following you. And so, Father, today as we hold these cards, may we feel the spiritual weight that is behind them, and may we be expectant and open to what it is that you are leading us to do today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say amen. It was probably about 15 years ago that my family and I, we decided to do something that we had never really done before. We dabbled with it before, but we decided we were going to plant a garden. And we had tried a few years before that, but that first garden that we tried planting, our harvest was four green beans. Literally, four green beans. That is one for each of us. So thankfully, we are not dependent on my gardening skills. But we decided that we were going to give it another shot. And so we decided we would build a raised garden. And we went 4x6. That is feet, not acres. But a 4x6, you know, just garden. And I don't know anything. I don't know anything about it. Don't know what I'm doing. So I just figured, well, if we're going to do a garden, you need seeds. So we went to Walmart and we just started buying all the seeds, you know. And so we bought tomato seeds, okra seeds, squash seeds, jalapeno seeds, strawberry seeds, onion seeds, potato seeds. I mean, we just went crazy and we're like, all right, time to plant that little garden. So in that little 4x6 garden, we just grabbed the seeds and just started going womp, 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 just start throwing them around. Didn't have rows, didn't have anything like that. Just like, hey, throw the seeds out, throw the seeds out. That's what you do, right? Just put the seeds in the dirt. It's going to grow. And let me tell you, that little 4x6 garden went crazy, right? And those of you who are a little smarter than I am, you know that any idiot can grow okra, and because the okra just goes up out of the ground. Same thing with squash, and it just went crazy. We actually had a couple jalapenos pop up out of that thing as well, and it was a lot of fun, and we just never did it again, all right? And so, but here's the thing, you know, as we were planting that little 4x6 garden, and we're scattering the seeds, and I'm watching the kids throw the seeds, Jen's throwing seeds, I never once thought, man, we are wasting so many seeds right now. You know, it's just like, we're losing all these seeds. What is going on here? Wouldn't they just be better off staying in the packet? Wouldn't they be a little safer if we just left them there and put them in the cupboard somewhere? Wouldn't that be better? And the reason I didn't think that is because, well, nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that because everybody who's ever planted a garden knows planting seeds is not a loss. It's actually the only way to get a harvest. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that your generosity and my generosity, it works the exact same way. And friends, if you keep viewing generosity as a loss, you're going to miss out on the joy of giving and the blessings that flow from it. See, for weeks now, as a church, we've been walking through this Immeasurably More series, and we've been asking this question, what would it look like for God to do immeasurably more in us and through us, more than we could ask or imagine? And today, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you got a Bible, I'd love for you to get open to 2 Corinthians 9. If you brought your vision guide, flip over to week 5, Immeasurably More Legacy. That's where we are today. So if you were to sit down with your Bible and you just got this harebrained idea that you wanted to highlight every reference or verse to the idea of money or giving or generosity, I have a little bit of advice for you. And the first bit would be this: you're going to need more than one highlighter, because in your Bible, there are over 2,000 references to money, generosity, wealth, riches, and giving. 2,000 passages. Because the Bible talks a lot about this idea of what are we doing with our riches, what are we doing with the stuff that God gives us. And in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, we have the longest sustained teaching on generosity in all the Bible. And that's why in week 1 of Immeasurably More, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it's why today, as we conclude this series, we're going to go to chapter 9, and we're just going to bookend this series with chapter 8 and chapter 9. We're only going to be able to scratch the surface here, just seeing this here. But just remind you, Paul's writing to another group of Corinth Christians in the first century, and really, they're probably not a lot different than you and I are. I mean, these are people just trying to make a living. I would assume in his church that there were people who had some anxiety about finances. They're just trying to provide for their family, not really looking to get filthy rich, just wanting to get by. I imagine in that church in the first century, there's probably a couple who is just trying to save up for a down payment on the house, you know. They're just trying to keep up on the camel payments. You know, maybe they're wanting to take the kids to Disney over Jerusalem. And so they're just like trying to save things up. And Paul writes to them, and he says some really powerful words. Let's look at verse 6, and this is what he says. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves, y'all know this, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, Paul starts off with a simple principle here. It's well known. He uses it in other places, but it's just this, that you reap what you sow, right? We all know this to be true. It's true in that garden. If you throw out okra seeds, you're going to get okra back. You're not getting tomatoes, okay? You're going to reap what you sow. It's true financially. You know, if you are going to invest in your retirement, then guess what? At the time that you retire, there's going to be something probably there. But if you don't invest in your retirement, guess what? There won't be anything there. That's a guarantee. It's even true relationally. Your mom taught you this principle of reaping and sowing whenever she told you, if you want to have a friend, you have to be a friend, okay? Because whatever you put into a relationship is what you're probably going to get out of it. And so Paul is reminding them, and he's reminding us, that God does the exact same thing whenever it comes to generosity, and that it really is true that you cannot outgive God. Because what God does is he multiplies it and keeps it going. And he says God loves a cheerful giver. If you want to circle that word, that word in the Greek language, whenever Paul's writing it, is the Greek word hilaros, which is where we get our word hilarious. Okay, so it's all about cheer. But it's not just about smiling whenever you give, because the word hilaros also brings along with it this idea about being ready. Ready to respond. Ready when the prompting comes, ready to release what he has entrusted to you. In other words, it is a joyful generosity that already has its bags packed and is standing at the door ready to go. See, this passage is not about our feelings. It's about our readiness. And you know what, church? I've been praying, and I pray that you've been praying, that as we've journeyed through this for the past few weeks, and you've maybe been working through small group stuff, or maybe it's some vision nights, or, you know, whatever it is through the series, personal prayer, that you are ready at this moment. Because one of the things that would just be great to be able to say about Corinth Christian Church is that this is a church that is always at the ready. Always at the ready, ready to go. Because here's the thing, readiness brings cheerfulness. That's what it does. Readiness is going to bring cheerfulness. Like, have you ever, you all probably know that person who is always just up for anything. You know, you shoot them a text, hey, you want to go to dinner tonight? They're like, I was just waiting on you. You know, let's just go. You want to go see a movie? Absolutely. What time are we going? When are we going to be there? You want to go play golf? Absolutely. Clubs are in the car, ready to go. What do you want to do? Those are the people that bring a smile. They bring a little joy, a little cheer into your life. And that's what being at the ready does, is it brings cheerfulness and joy. It is not a feeling, because let's be honest, if feelings dictated our lives, most of us wouldn't survive parenting, marriage, or just life in general, would we? Amen. So today, that was a little heavy on the amen there. All right. So as we step forward today, and as we make our commitments, we are doing it with a spirit of readiness. This is not out of pressure, not out of guilt or reluctance. It is joy and readiness, because readiness brings cheerfulness. Verse 10, this is what he says. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Here's what Paul is showing us next. It's that our commitments form our character. See, our commitments don't just shape the church. They actually shape us as individuals. And so the picture that Paul is giving us here is that God is the ultimate supplier, isn't he? He says that, you know, God is the one who supplies the seed that we sow. In other words, any resource that we have is ultimately something that came from him. It's Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And whenever we sow the seed, Paul says that he multiplies both our supply of seed and the harvest of righteousness. Did you note that? That's what he says. He's going to give you more seed and he's going to increase the harvest. Now, there are a lot of people, they'll read verse 10 there and they will say, see, this is the prosperity gospel, you know, that if you just get, you give in order to receive. That's what the prosperity gospel says. If you just give, then you're going to give in order to receive. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible actually says this, you've already received. So what are you going to do with it? That's the question the Bible asks us. And in verse 11, that purpose is revealed. Why does God increase what we have? It is not for our personal gain. It is to enable even more generosity. That's what it says. In fact, I love what the pastor Randy Alcorn said. He said this, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. See, here's the thing, friends. If God knows that you're going to channel his blessings to others, he will keep funneling resources to you. See, verse 11 is all about the purpose of the blessing. He says, in every way. Why is he going to do this? Why? So that you can feel secure, so that you can feel accomplished, so that you can have more retirement, right? It's like, no. It's none of those things. It's so that you can be generous on every occasion. So here's a question that's been messing with me since I've been working on this stuff here. And since it's messed with me, you get to be messed with as well. Is that if God enriches us and expands our resources so that we can be more generous, here's the question that's been convicting. If I were God, would I give me more money? If you were God, would you give you more money? If the entire purpose is not so that you can feel more secure, more accomplished, have better retirement, take care of your kids better, all this, no, if the sole purpose is to increase the amount of generosity and the blessings that you can do towards others, would you give you more money? Because the question really is this, are you an effective conduit of God's blessings? Paul continues, verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Here's the last thing that Paul tells us. Generosity doesn't just fund the mission. Generosity is the mission. It's the whole point of it. It's not just about funding things. It is the mission. Because what God desires to do is to take available men and women and students and children who are fully surrendered to him. And what God says is, he's like, man, a fully surrendered life, open hands, open heart. He's like, I can do an awful lot with that. And he's like, so I want to do a work in you for the purpose of doing a work through you. And what Paul is saying to those Corinth Christians in the first century is that because of their generosity, other people are going to praise God for the obedience that accompanies their confession of the gospel and for their generosity in sharing with this, with them and with everybody else. He's like, listen, people are going to praise God because of your generosity. In Corinth, I just want you to think about this, and I just want you to personalize this. I want you to just think about it. You're watching online, you perk up. I want you to think about this. Here's the thing. If through the ministry of Corinth Christian Church right here, Walton County, Georgia, if through the ministry of Corinth Christian Church you met Jesus, or your kids met Jesus, or you got reacquainted with Jesus, or you came to this place to heal in some way, or your marriage was restored, or you found hope, or you were set free from some addiction, or you had any spiritually significant moment in your time that you have been in this place, then I just want to remind all y'all of this. If that is true of you, then you are the recipient of somebody else's generosity who decided to sow generously. See, we are here today because somebody before us, they prayed, they gave, they served, and they believed. And today, we stand on their shoulders. And for some of y'all, as I look around the room, I can say this because you've been here for decades like I have. It was your parents. It was your grandparents. It was your great-grandparents. It was aunts. It was uncles. It was neighbors. It was friends. It was pastors. It was, you know, Sunday school teachers. Those people, they prayed, they gave, they served, they believed, and we stand on their shoulders in church. That should not stop with us. We have to carry that forward into the future. And as we have been praying and contemplating and thinking and just asking, God, what would you do? What would immeasurably more look like? What would it be like in this place through this group of people? You want to know one of the things that excites me the most as I just kind of stop and I think about it is to think of the immeasurably more results that are going to be because of the commitments we're going to make today. I mean, I just want you to think about it. You realize here in a few years, there's going to be a single mom who's going to walk through that door holding a kid in one hand and her last bit of hope in the other. She's not even sure why she walked in this place. But she's going to be greeted at one of those doors with warmth. And she's going to check her kid into Corinth Kids. And that kid is going to be loved, cared for, and taught about Jesus. And she's going to sit in a room. And for the first time, maybe in a long time, she's going to hear a message that just says, God sees you. He loves you. And you're not alone. There's going to be a middle school kid whose parents just split up. And he's going to walk into this place carrying more anxiety than any kid should ever have to carry. And they're just trying to hold it together. But it's going to be a Sunday night. And he's going to be sitting in his small group. And he's going to feel seen. And he's going to laugh for the first time in weeks, if not months. And eventually he's going to surrender his life to Jesus. There's going to be a skeptic who doesn't believe any of this. I mean, to him, it's just all nonsense. But one of the Corinth Christians in this place, maybe his name's even on a light bulb right now. They have prayed, they invite, and they pester, and they bother to the point to where he just gives up. And he's like, fine, I will go. And he comes, and he listens. And over time, he's like, wait a second. This isn't just a bunch of inspirational talk. This Jesus guy, he was actually real. That Jesus, he really died on a cross and he was really buried in a tomb. In 3 days, he really walked out of that tomb. And that skeptic's going to become a disciple and that disciple's going to become a leader. And the stories are going to go on and on and on. And every single one of those stories, they don't happen just in theory. They happen in a place. And Corinth, we are building that place right now together. We are building a legacy that will last beyond all of us. And I want you to remember this. This is your bottom line today. A legacy isn't something that you just leave. It's deliberately built. We're not just going to leave a legacy and just hope. We have to make a decision to deliberately build the legacy for those who will come after us. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had about 144 of our leaders in this room, and they came forward to make early commitments at Advanced Commitment Night. And of those 144 of those leaders, there were about 70 families that were represented there, and 70 of them chose to lead the way and make a commitment. And what I love even of that is of those 70, 8 of those commitments were people who had never given to Corinth before. That was their first time committing. And it was just such an incredible night as our leaders gathered to go first before today's Commitment Sunday. And I want to give you a chance to hear the why behind their heart from several of them and why they are giving to Immeasurably More. So let's play that video.
And Immeasurably More means to me is to think about the 19-year-old that is to come to Corinth in the future, which is what I was 33 years ago when I came to this church, and I just want to do my small part to be able to make that contribution and to help reach more people to learn about Jesus.
We made the commitment because we want others who are struggling in a dark time to be able to find the light of Jesus and find their own miracle. Avery's been here since he was born. I came when I was in eighth grade, and it has provided family. And we actually met here at Corinth, and now we're married, and we're getting ready to hopefully also bring generations through here.
The people that came before us, the generation, and made sure this church was here and that the doors were open and welcoming new members, for us meant a lot, right? We came back and found that this place was thriving, and we decided that, you know, we're going to lean in and, you know, we're going to throw some gas on the fire and help to just bring it as much as we can to the church that, you know, helped start our family. It's just making sure that the things that we've been able to experience here at Corinth, the community, just being able to learn about Jesus, that continues for our kids, our grandkids, and even after that.
I feel like Immeasurably More to me has really like affected my life because somebody invited me to come to church, and it really saved my life, and God met me where I was struggling most, and now I want to continue to help other people to find God.
Keeping the doors as open and as many seats available as possible so people who have questions can walk in and learn, just like I did, just like he did, and just like our kids do every week.
It's shown us so much love since we've been here, this church has, and we want it to be where our boys grow.
We want all of those who come behind us to find us faithful.
Our girls are actually the fifth generation of our family to be here at Corinth, and so we want to make sure that that legacy continues on and will be here for generations to come.
We have been blessed, and we want to pass along that blessing to future generations.
To me, Immeasurably More means providing the opportunity to receive the same love and support that I have.
Immeasurably More means to trust more, even in uncertain times.
Immeasurably More to me is the future and our grandchildren and a place for them to come.
To me, Immeasurably More means pouring into broken people the way that people here have poured into me.
To me, Immeasurably More is being part of the legacy of the next generation.
We believe in the next generation, so we are proud to give and trusting God for Immeasurably More.
Yeah, I've seen that video a few times now, and it is just so moving to me. To get to hear people who are just like, hey, we're all in. We're all in. This is not just about us. This is about who come after us. And we're going to keep praying that God's going to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. You know, there's a prayer that I've been kind of praying over this season. And it's this, that God, whenever we're all through this season and we're in that new building and all the things are going on, I want us to all laugh. And laugh and just go, man, we dreamed way too small. Because God did immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, and he's just going to blow our minds, knock our socks off with the amount of generosity that is already in this place and what's going to happen for generations to come. So now it's our turn. And a church, I want to remind you, for all of us who were here for Advanced Commitment Night a couple of weeks ago, I'm asking you to come forward again to lead by example. Some of us will be coming with the exact same number. Others of us, already heard this, but maybe God has taken you to a new place, and that's what you're going to do. But we are praying for all of us that we will be able to join in this commitment moment together. So I want you to grab that commitment card. Grab it if you're online. Go to the one that's online there. Go to the digital one. And as you look at this card, just want to remind you of a couple of things, okay? One, what we're doing here today matters. It matters not only for us as individuals as we take big steps of faith and generosity like we've never taken before, but it also matters and changing the eternities of people in this area and far and beyond, reaching them with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we're doing matters today. This commitment that we're making is your total giving to Corinth over the next 2 years. So if you're somebody who already currently gives, then you need to include that number in your giving. You include your 2-year regular giving in your number, plus any expanded giving, stored resources, that stuff. So your total giving, not just the extra. For some of you, I'm so excited about this. This is going to be the first time that you've ever committed to give anything. And I am so excited. It's incredible. I'm happy for you. I believe God is smiling upon you today. This is a step of faith and trust that you will never regret. Others of you, today you're choosing to give in a way that you have never done before. And I'll just say this. It's where Jennifer and myself are today. We are stepping out with the largest step of faith that we have ever done. And I know and believe that there are many of you in this room who are going to do the same. And for some of us, that might mean a significant 5, 6, maybe even 7-figure gift that you never even thought would be possible. And I want to encourage you in that. Because for you, that is what immeasurably more generosity looks like. It seems scary. It seems impossible. But go for it. And last thing is, I know that I've mentioned this before, but please know on the card, you don't have to fill out all the blanks. The top is just a worksheet. The only number that matters is what goes in the blue box there. And that is your commitment for your total generosity over the next 2 years. So now what's going to happen is that the band is going to come up here and play in just a second, and we're going to give you a few moments to be able to prepare your card. And you may already have that filled out. That's great. If so, if that's your final number, then take this time to just kind of pray and dedicate it to the Lord. Ask God to give you the faith to fulfill it, and take that surrendered heart, even if it's a scared heart, and just go, okay, God, here's where we are as we make our commitment. There are others of you, you kind of know what you're going to commit, but you just haven't written it down yet because maybe you're just a little nervous to write it down, because writing it down makes it real. It's like, oh man, okay, here we go. And I just want to encourage you to lean into God. Ask him for courage and prepare that card boldly and confidently, and know that your Lord is with you and for you. And then there might be others of us, and you might find yourself stuck between the safe choice and the courageous choice. In fact, this is kind of common. There's probably a number that you discussed that you could do because it fits on your spreadsheet and it fits into your budget. It could even be considered sacrificial, larger than anything you've ever done. But in your heart of hearts, you know it's not the number that God is calling you to. And there's no way that I could possibly know what your story is, but rest assured that God does. And he will give you the faith that you need to fulfill what he is calling you to commit. So let's take this time. Let's think, let's pray, let's write. Feel free to quietly talk with your spouse, to talk with the Lord. And then I want you to stay seated, okay? You stay in your chairs. And then in a minute, I'll come back up and I'll tell you what we're going to do next. But stay seated. Take this time. Let's pray. Let's prepare to commit. You know, church, as I stand here before you, I am humbled. The Lord called me to be here. That I get the chance to stand up here 35, 37 times a year, share the word of God with you. And I'm humbled that we get to be a part of this together. And I really do believe that the best is still yet to be for Corinth Christian Church, that God is not finished with us yet. And I believe that in this most significant spiritual step of faith that Corinth has taken in its 165 years, God really is going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So I want us to pray. So Father, we are asking the one who provides all the seed, the one who provides the harvest, that you would multiply, God, multiply everything that is offered this morning. Because we are bringing this with open hands, with open hearts, even if our hearts are a little scared, even if our hands are a little trembling right now. But we believe, God, that there are someones who need to know Jesus in this area, and we want to help as many people bump into Jesus as we can. And so, Father, please receive these gifts, these commitments, do what only you can do. And be pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, church, it is time. Let's do this. Let's bring forward our commitments during this next song, and let's believe that God really can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine throughout for Jesus to receive all glory in this generation and for generations to come. Let's stand. Let's do.